You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to What's Eric Eating? Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. Today on the show, we're doing something a little bit different. Instead of our usual interview segment, I have three people who are forces in the world of Texas barbecue on to talk about the new Texas Monthly Top 50 list that just dropped on Tuesday. Gentlemen, let me introduce you separately so people can hear your voices. He is a renowned photographer and entrepreneur. Robert Lerma, welcome to the show.
Good to be here.
He is the pitmaster and owner of Truth Barbecue in Houston and Brenham. Leonard Botello, welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure.
He is the chef, pitmaster, and co-owner of Burnt Barbecue Company in Seguin. Ernest Cervantes, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Hi, guys.
He left the bean now, Ernest. Is it burnt now? Did you change the name?
No, it's burnt bean.
All right. Look, gentlemen, obviously, this is a big day for Ernest and Leonard. Ernest, you have the number one barbecue joint in the state of Texas. So just congratulations. How does it feel?
Thanks. It feels cool. It really hasn't hit me yet. I'm more, I know Leonard can agree with me on this. It's like, okay, let's make sure Thursday comes out right. We got to readjust our numbers. We're going into uncharted territories. So we got to do that, make sure the team gets here earlier, calling providers, meat providers, all that to boost it up. So once I get that situated, I got a big bottle of Dom Perignon in the cooler right now. I'm busting a bottle with that. And I couldn't find me any caviar. So
when he says Dom Perignon, he really means Crown Royal. I mean, come on.
I got me a $300, $400 bottle in there. So I'm all about the bubbles. But yeah, man, so I'll be popping bottles later on today, but back to work is scheduled, and we're going to show people and tell everybody our story from now on out, here on out.
Leonard, Truth was number 9, and I know that, thin slicing these things, 7, 8, 9, 3, 4, whatever, is tricky, but I think for you, the headline from my perspective is 3 cycles in a row, Truth Barbecue in the top 10, which is certainly a rare achievement and something that I hope you're proud of.
Yeah, very proud, of course. Like, I'm just very appreciative of not just Daniel, but you including, and like everybody else that gave us, that chance from Brenham to the growth into Houston and kept supporting us and supporting our team to grow into that position. Like, very proud of our entire team and Truth Barbecue. Of 12 years on a list is difficult. And
well, just to be real direct about it, the Truth Barbecue that made the list in 2017 is very different than the Truth Barbecue that exists now.
I'm sure Ernest does the same thing. We probably both pick our food apart on a daily basis compared to when it was and where it is now. And then I think that's, I don't know. Ernest and I have like both looked at certain things a certain way. And I think that us evolutionizing barbecue and trying to put one foot in front of the other and keep going forward and staying ahead of ourselves has helped put us where we are on the list and continue to be where we are on the list. And just never really being I mean, it sucks to say it, but neither one of us are, I don't want to speak for Ernest, but I don't think we're ever satisfied. We keep on wanting to get to the next thing of his magic dragon that you don't even, that perfect cook, I don't think it exists because you're looking for a better one the next day.
Yeah, I totally agree on that. That's why I think Leonard and I are really close, because we pretty much have the same standards as well as the foundation that got us to where we're at. You know, me being one, but yet me looking up to Leonard when he opened and his style. And we both don't come from pedigree. And I always tell everybody that we're mutts. We didn't come from a lineage from working at other joints. It's just two dudes that had a passion for barbecue. We figured it out ourselves. And that's why I have so much respect for Leonard. Not only is he sexy, but at the same time, you know, the motherfucker's a badass. And that's why I respect him. And it's very true. We're never satisfied. We're always hungry.
And I mean, I think that the proof of that is kind of in the results, right? If all you do is the same thing that you were doing 4 years ago, you're going to fall on the list because there's so many new places that are pushing you forward. And the no better example of that than that Franklin Barbecue and Snow's Barbecue are no longer in the top 10, which is a situation that I think would have astonished anyone even as recently as 4 years ago.
I will have to say, I had Franklin's brisket about 3 weeks ago. Becky brought it from Fluff. Still one of the best bites. And I had a pork steak about 2 weeks before that Ben brought me. Still one of my favorite bites of barbecue.
Yeah. It's not that they've gotten worse, right? Yeah. Like, it's just that, like, what you guys do is so much, it's so much more.
I mean, you look at where we are now, I mean, Smitty's is not even in the top 100, and they were number one, what 16 years ago? I mean, look at the places in Lockhart. You know, one of my favorite places, City Market in Luling, is not even top 100. So we all have these places that we refer back to, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they've fallen off, but it just goes to show the standard has evolved so much in the last 8-12 years that some of the places that we grew up on, I mean, not any knock on them, but they're not even in the same category. And it's almost like tantamount to saying, like, how would Babe Ruth do against today's pitching in the major leagues? It's almost a different sport when you kind of look at it, what Leonard has done. I mean, when did we meet Leonard in 15? And you were great then, but to have so many people kind of come in and out, and that's the other side. So many people have left because there's a lot of pressure that comes from having that scrutiny and having that spotlight on them. And it's not easy. Ernest, you know, I've known him a long time, you know, and they're their own worst critics. They put more pressure on themselves to day in, day out execute more than anybody else coming in to eat and review their places. So their standard has changed. And you almost look at it like, you know, Nick Saban with these elite prospect versus great and good. I mean, their stuff is elite. But even then, as Leonard kind of talks to you, they're chasing ghosts every single day. They're never satisfied. And that goes to show, I think, the level of integrity they have in what they're doing on every single day. I mean, I can guarantee you Leonard is not satisfied with number 9 or number 4 or number 1. They're chasing themselves every single day. And whether Ernest comes out that this next, the next go round at number one, it doesn't matter, because right now the brand is going to continue to evolve and grow, and nobody's going to put more pressure on themselves than these two guys right here.
Yeah. Leonard, say a little more about that, because, you know, kind of what I was alluding to in 2017, you had the Brenham location, by 2021, Houston was up and going, but now, like, in addition to those, You're supporting Merritt Meat Company in Round Top and everything you do at Energy Stadium.
Yeah, just more pressure, I would say. But it's more of a challenge. Like, you get up every day. It's like, but I mean, I have the same, you have to be able to balance it as well. Like, there's one thing, you balance the quality and the consistency. But on the other side, you have to be able to take and balance the feedback that you get from your customers or your write-ups or any of that stuff, like any kind of publication, and push it as more and use it as fuel to your fire. Like, if somebody tells you like you're off for one day, that shouldn't be like, no, they were wrong. That should be like, you know, I'm going to go in and dig my heels in deeper And I think that that's a very important thing, like to take that feedback very critical. Now, is it all of it right? Is all of it positive? No. But you have to.
And it's not all equally valid, right? Like some people just don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
No, but I mean, back in 2015, I mean, there's plenty of people that gave me critiques. Robert gave me critiques. Corey Taylor was one of the guys that gave me harsh critiques. I remember the first time I gave him ribs and they said they were a little washed out. And I was so pissed off because I was like, I thought that was the best I could do. But stuff like that pushed me even further to be like, what is my comfort zone? How do I get outside of my comfort zone and make the food taste better and take these critiques and be like, hey, I heard you. What about this one? What about this? What about this one? And just keep getting better. If you get bogged down and you think that you're the best, somebody's going to be in your review the next day. There's always, like today, the list came out. There is somebody outside that is looking at that list. They fired up their barbecue pit and they're like, I'm going to go after those two dudes. I guarantee you there's a pop-up. There's another restaurant that hasn't been discovered yet. And we have to be on our toes all the time to stay 10 steps ahead of those people, or that's just going to be a flash in the pan. And that's what I never wanted to happen with Truth. I never wanted to be like in 2015 when I was 25 years old, that to be it. I just wanted to keep it going. And I think that pressure that we put on ourselves, yeah, it's unhealthy, 1,000%. But it got us to where we are today.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry for saying that beef rib was inedible that I took back to. I didn't think anybody could fuck up a beef rib. But you proved me wrong, Leonard. And my dog at the time loved it.
Ernest, talk about this. I mean, because you've had, you know, when you opened, it was kind of all eyes on you. You were that guy making the move from the competition circuit to a restaurant, kind of that next big thing. You hadn't been open that long. You're number four on the Texas Monthly list in 21. And, you know, for the last year, you've heard, oh, I think Burnt Bean's going to be number one. I think Burnt Bean's going to be number one. Like, how do you kind of deal with that pressure? And now here you are.
You know, it's just like what my wife said that one time, you know, you can't complain. You ask for it. You know, I wanted to be number one and I had this journey and I asked for it and I knew what it was. I knew it's like, I can't compare to anything like seeing that top of a mountain when you're driving and you see the top of that peak and your goal is to get up there and you know what it's going to take. You know, the sacrifice, you know, you're going to have to deal with people trying to throw shade. You know, what you're going to have to do is work hard. And then when you get these positive things and then you get more to it, like now one, the pressure to be one, you have to be willing to accept it and say you asked for it. And I grind every day. I try to be innovative. And I love what I fucking do. And that's the difference is I love to be here. And I love to work and innovate and things like that. But, you know, I asked for this. And I am honored to take the number one position. But at the end of the day, we're just going to keep on doing what we're doing right now. You know,
Eric, let me just kind of expound upon that. You know, Leonard, you know, kind of came from that non pedigree, and so did Ernest in a sense. Ernest came from this competition background, and very few, if any, made that transition from competition to having a let's be honest, let's be real, a successful, really great barbecue restaurant. That was a difficult bridge to cross, and he'd had success on Barbecue Pitmasters, on Chops. So we had all this pressure, but at the same time, there wasn't a lot who'd made that transition from the competition world to what Ernest is doing. I think that put an added pressure, but at the same time, you know, he proved so many people wrong because I think the expectation was it was going to be competition barbecue. And obviously, anybody who's been there knows it is not competition barbecue. This is, on one hand, quintessential Texas barbecue, but on the other hand, you have these one-offs. On any given day, he's one of his features. That could be the baseline foundation for a new restaurant, what he does, whether it be on his Sunday brunch or his Friday, you know, Saturday specials. It's almost silly how remarkable these features are at his place that aren't even classic barbecue. And on top of the side. So this is the level of excellence that I think he has carved out in addition to Leonard. I mean, you talk about Leonard, I think he makes one of the best whole hogs in the damn country. And he's not even in the Carolinas. He's here in Texas.
Yeah, it's just like a side hustle that he does every Saturday. Yeah. He turns it.
Yeah, you know, I'm just gonna go do a whole hog and do better than anybody else.
I've seen him do a whole hog in 5 hours in Sweden.
5 hours,
bro.
Pressure was off.
You made that shit happen with a crispy fucking outer shells banging. Yeah. I'm like, this motherfucker came to Sweden and banged out a whole hog like in 5 hours.
Hold on, Ernest. While he was on the phone with the airlines trying to find his bag.
Yeah, that's right. I know he lost his Jordans too.
Well, and Leonard, I mean, you guys continue to evolve. I mean, I was in recently. You were fooling around with a lamb shoulder and a like a cold smoked pork chop that's pan fried. I mean, that's not barbecue, right? As I think anyone would like. That's not traditional Texas barbecue. You couldn't, but like somehow it still makes sense in the context of everything that you do.
Yeah, I think that the barbecue scene has changed so much because we've gotten so much. And I think that this goes to, let's say we go to Sweden or we go to a food and wine event in another state. I can't tell you how it came about, but like we have so much respect from these critically named chefs all over the U.S. because they see us grind. They're like, how are these guys standing in front of these pits for 15, 16 hours sweating it out and then creating this beautiful food? And we got this respect from them, but they don't even realize how much we respect what they do. And now I think we kind of all look at it like, oh, our wings aren't clipped to just brisket, ribs, and sausage. Like once you can control fire, it's almost limitless. We're not just turning on a stove. We're not just turning on an oven. The wood's different every day. The proteins are different every day. It's another challenge. And that's where we have to get our comfort levels outside of the box. Like, all the information to cook a good brisket is out there. I mean, I've put information out there. Ernest put information out there. You can go buy a MillScale. You can go buy a Moberg. So what's next? What is going to change the era of barbecue? What's going to evolutionize the era of barbecue? And I think that's where we're at now today on that list. Like brisket, ribs, and sausages is not going to make the cut because so many people do it so good. And it's like when we sell out in Houston, they're like, well, we came for barbecue. I'm like, well, you're about a stone throw away from another great barbecue restaurant. I'm not going to take them down. They do a great job. Honestly, like I go to Pinkerton's to go get Grant's ribs. I love Grant's ribs. We have access to so much great food in Houston and not just other cuisines, but barbecue in general. And that's all over the state of Texas now.
Were you surprised at all to see the amount of turnover in the Houston restaurants? I mean, like I'm going to have Daniel on next week. And so I'll go a couple rounds with him about this too, but it's surprising to me, not like Killen's Barbecue isn't one of the 50 best in Texas. Fiji's Barbecue isn't one of the 50 best in Texas. Like that is not a barbecue world that I recognize.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Well, again, you can go back to the, I mean, 8 years ago when we were talking about where the Lockhart places, where the Luling places, you know, there's this constant evolution that occurs. And again, you know, it's life's tough in the NFL. And these right. guys,
next man up,
it's exactly how it is. I mean, and sometimes, you know, just to be completely blunt, some people get caught up in the minutiae of all of it and they're not in their restaurants. They travel because that's naturally what occurs. And, you know, whether it be barbecue or fine dining or whatever, you know, there's a lot of pressure that comes with maintaining that stature. And so, and you, it's come sometimes at the cost. And, you know, Pat Martin talks about you can either be in the restaurant working or you can be outside the restaurant working on the brand. And it's a fine line to kind of walk to build those brands. You know, Leonard's across the country. Ernest is going to, you know, been around the world.
Right. Ernest was just in Australia 3 weeks ago.
I mean, and he's about to be in Brazil. So, you know, there's that reluctance to leave your restaurant, but at the same time, you got to grow that brand. So sometimes, you know, you're going to take a step back, but you have to rely on your teams, and they have, you know, good teams. I mean, that's easier said than done to have people really execute when you're not there. You have to put a lot of trust in that. And, you know, again, it has nothing to do with motivation. I think, you know, everybody who's dead on Mount Everest was motivated a person. It takes a lot more than being motivated. You know, you have to have good people around you and you have to have that passion. And I think these are the distinctions for me when I look at Leonard and Ernest, and they can put their fucking recipes out there and tell you exactly what they do, but you're not going to do it better than them because you don't have that X factor. You don't have that passion to go be living in your place day in, day out like they do.
Well, I was going to say, like, and it sucks, like, you know, some of these places fell off the list, but you can't look at that as it's done for good. You know what I mean? Like, it's not done for good. Like, Tom Brady came out of retirement and crushed at the Bucks.
Like, was Louis Miller's back.
Yeah, he's back, like, as he should be.
Yeah.
So I don't want, you know, it sucks, but that should be the time, because I'm going to do it, Ernest is going to do it. If somebody did fall off, I don't want them to get discouraged, because they still have the platform to go and do what they do and show what they did previously and do it even better now. So I encourage them to keep pushing this barbecue, whatever era, forward back to the golden age. And I guarantee you, Ronnie Killen is going to go and it's going to fire him up.
I was just about to say, Ron, yeah, all the people that are not, that are in that honorable mention list that fell out of the top 50, Ronnie Killen is more motivated than anybody. He's going to figure out a way to climb back in there. I feel very confident about that.
Yeah. He's one that I'm expecting a lot of good things. I think he's got a fire in his ass. But you know, I going back to what Leonard said about the people who didn't make the list as well, it's another reality check as well, is the things that you used to get away with and get on the top 50 doesn't work anymore. You know, so you have to be a little bit more creative. You're going to have to be a little bit more innovative, because at the end of the day, there's a lot of young talent that wants it and they're hungry. And a lot of these barbecue joints are just sitting in the laurels and they're happy. And then they get upset that they're not in the top 50. I think that the game has changed. I think the respect that they're getting more has changed. So you're going to have to bring it every single day. That's it.
I mean, Lerma, I know you're super close to the Stowe's folks. That's, you know, again, like, one of the big surprises, I think, for this year's list is that they're out of the top 10 after being number 9 in 21 and number 1 even in 17. So just say a little bit about that place, because, you know, how do you see it compared to some of these more contemporary joints?
Well, I mean, to me, it's like quintessential Texas barbecue that encompasses everything beyond just food. You have the history with Tootsie, going back to, she's been cooking since the 50s. Obviously, everybody knows her story. But you have this
feel. And if you don't, there's a whole Netflix Chef's Table episode about it.
You have this feel on Saturday morning that is to me, reminds me of Sunday church potluck, where you have everybody kind of coming together from all walks of life, all the parts of the world. And the common denominator is their love for barbecue and their love for this lady and this place. You got down the road, you got live brisket on the hoof at the cattle auction. The very few places kind of bring together all of those elements. Does it need to be number one? Does it need to be top 10 for me to have a good time there? Absolutely not. Sometimes I go there, I don't even eat the food. I just want to come see my friends and hang out. And I think they're going to be fine regardless. I mean, to me, it's, you know, whether it's 10 or 25 or one, you know, it's arbitrary. And that gives us fodder to kind of talk about all these people talking about these lists. And this is why I always say, hey, they're great. But the same to what Leonard's talking about, it's just one thing in the grand scheme of things. And if you want to let that define you, sure, it's going to define you. But but at the end of the day, if you're motivated and you're all in on this thing that we all love, I mean, your business is going to be fine so long as you continue to do great, great things there. And you see that with a lot of places who have come off. I mean, look at Terry Black's. They're an honorable mention. And yeah, I don't think you're going to see Mark and Michael crying about the millions of dollars they're making with all the restaurants.
No, let me just say, I drove past the Terry Black's location in Dallas a few weeks ago at 8:30 on a Friday night, and it looked like it was standing room only. I mean, like, I can't imagine, like, in terms of a single brand, that there's any company that sells more high quality brisket than they do across their multiple locations.
So I was talking about this with Ernest yesterday. I mean, I kind of had a feeling, but you look at what,
I mean, we all kind of had a feeling.
Yeah. You kind of have a feeling, but you look at what Aaron has done, parlaying that all of that stuff that happened with Bon Appetit, with Bourdain and number one into an empire. You look at what Snows has done with their kind of number one, and they've parlayed that into an empire. that's, I think, the next evolution for you know, somebody like Ernest. I mean, there's only so much more barbecue you can churn out of his place in Seguin. But what does Burnt Bean look like 4 years from now, 10 years from now? He can do whatever the fuck he wants. That's how talented he is. And same thing with Leonard. Leonard could have stayed in that little shack in Brenham and been happy. But he is providing so much more for these communities with taking over when Lee passes away, building the machine down in Houston where they're employing so many people. That to me is the most beautiful thing to see what these guys are doing. It's not just how great their food is what they've built beyond these lists.
Well, and Leonard, let me bring you back into this. I mean, you know, obviously you have some culinary ambitions beyond the world of barbecue. I know your brother's a trained chef. I mean, do you think about kind of how I could evolve Truth into, like, you know, whatever your equivalent of like a Loro or an Uptown Sports Club is, where Aaron's gotten kind of to kind of transcend the world of barbecue and do some other stuff?
Man, probably one of my most inspiring spots would probably be Durney's Place at Red Hook Tavern. Like, just 12 bangers on the menu, simple, executed, and just like a good time. Like, I mean, it's limitless. Like I said, once you figure out fire and once you figure out proteins and how they break down, you kind of, like, we've taught ourselves so many things across the years that we've been doing this that we didn't even realize that we figured out through osmosis. It just becomes natural. And then you just apply it to other cooking techniques or other proteins. And then, boom, you just have this new thing that you didn't even know you're capable of.
I mean, Ernest, you're already doing so much more than what anyone would call traditional barbecue, with the Sunday brunch, with the Korean ribs, with the Moroccan, you know, the Korean beef ribs, the Moroccan pork ribs. I mean, talk a little bit about kind of your ambitions. I mean, what's the, you know, do you think about, like, you know, like, oh, I could open a badass Mexican restaurant, or I could do a live fire steakhouse. I could do anything.
Yeah. That's my end game in about 3 years. Right now, the that's when we bought the building next door. I have some ideas there, but that's not going to be until about 3 or 4 years from now. And by then, you know, this place should be running like a fine old machine. You know, I'd love the opportunity to work with my daughter when she gets out of culinary school and build something with her and maybe build a brand for her and maybe her sous chef. And just, you know, she's going to be excited to run her own restaurant. But the problem with a lot of restaurants is having someone that's on your side that's going to be sincere as well as someone that's going to be on your side and not trying to take advantage of you. So that's my goal with my daughter. My goal was to be number one in Texas. My goal was to be a Michelin rated restaurant. And my goal, you know, is to be nominated for James Beard. So I feel like Thanos right now with all the stones. So, you know what I mean? People say, what's next? You know, what's next is what I asked for. Let me enjoy this. Let me feed people. We're bringing people from all over the world now to try the barbecue and tell my story to everybody. And there will be cool stuff. I kind of told you in secrecy what I'm working on the menus for the fall and then for summer. So those will be on there. So I'm still evolving and we're still going to be snapping necks and cashing checks. So,
Yeah, I mean, for you, what's next is, you know, all these people who maybe they've heard of it or maybe they haven't, but as many people have heard good things about Burnt Bean Company, like, you know, this list matters to people. They pay a lot of attention to it. And there's like a whole group of people now that's going to make their way to your door, and it's put up or shut up. You know, it's like, can you give them the same experience that convinced Daniel and the folks at Texas Monthly to make you number one?
Exactly. I gotta do that every day.
Robert, let me ask you, I mean, have you been to some of these other spots on the list? I mean, I've personally never been to Interstellar. I've been to Dane's, I've been to Redbird, I've been to Goldie's, but what do you kind of take away from some of the other spots in the top 10?
It's remarkable in some ways. You know, Interstellar's right down the street from me, and John, you know, I talked about him before. You know, his evolution from a high-end sandwich maker to a prominent barbecue person is an amazing transition.
A Michelin starred pitmaster, as it were.
Yeah, I mean, and he's just a great dude. I mean, it's an odd location in a strip mall in Far Northwest Austin. But every time I drive by, I mean, that line is so far down the road, and you know, it's just remarkable everything he's doing. You know, Danes has been one of those places I haven't been to, but I've been talking with him for years now. His food looks amazing. Amir, you know, I was over there last year with Mike from Centex, you know, delivering some pits, and I thought he was going to be up there as well because his food is just remarkable. You know, some of the things that I think I've learned to not be so surprised when these things come out, because you just don't know. I can't be in these places every single day, but I've been you know, it's been nice to see these places that were kind of under the radar get their recognition. Some of these little places in small towns, which from a business standpoint is going to do wonders for their bottom line. And then you see some of these other places who've been working for years and years and years, you know, finally get some time in the sun, you know, and sometimes that comes at the consequence of other places falling out. I mean, you know, for example, what would have happened if Brotherton is still alive? Is he an honorable mention or is he top 50? I mean, you look at Hurtado, you know, Brandon's, you know, great friend, you know, he built in the empire out there. He's no longer in top 50. He's an honorable mention, but he has built quite the operation and empire up there in Dallas, Fort Worth, where he's doing so many other things, just released his book. So you look at, again, what a lot of these places have done with their time in the sunshine from this list and have done remarkable things, even though they're no longer on a top 50. I mean, and so that's why I'm excited to see what happens with Ernest, because I think he is never satisfied, always hungry. So what is it going to be the next thing that he puts his eyes on and wants to focus on? Because that's going to be, to me, the most interesting thing about the next 4 years. It's not like, can he maintain number one? Is that, what is he going to do beyond barbecue? And I can't wait to go and visit. Hopefully I get a call, because I wasn't allowed to go to those pop-ups. But I'm just a big fan of this guy.
Well, and as far as I know, no one has ever gone back-to-back as number one, you know, at least since the – in kind of the modern era of, you know, from 2008 on, right? When Stowe's is number one, you know, they've just never, and no one's gone back to back. So I don't know, Ernest, it's too soon to kind of ask you to think about that. But I think if anything, you use this time in the spotlight to really cement your reputation. And then I think what Robert is saying, you figure out how to grow the brand.
Yeah. You know, I don't think it's about anything else other than you're leaving a legacy, being number one. I think that's why I'm doing it, to leave a legacy. I'm not going to be going after, you know, back to back. You know, I'm not into that. I am one of those guys that I'm enjoying the view on top of this mountain, and I'm saving the seat for the next guy so they can enjoy the view. You know, I don't want to be a back to back. I don't even want to be considered to be number one again. It's I know that sounds kind of like how you want to take it, but there's so much beautiful barbecue out there that needs to be fed out. And that's why when people are shocked that, you know, that Snow's is not in top 10 or Franklin's, and some people aren't on the list, there's so much beautiful barbecue that's being developed and dreams being made like I was. Right now, we'll be hearing about two or three barbecue joints in the next 6 months that haven't even opened yet. And in two or three years, we'll be talking about, you'll be making a podcast on these guys might be in the top 10. You know, and that's what's so beautiful about this is I this is my time in the spotlight. This is my time in the sun, and I'm going to enjoy my view, and then I'm going to step away and just stay relevant. You know, that's at the end of the day, I just want to burn being to stay relevant, and it's a hell of a place to go and eat barbecue.
Well, I mean, we talked about it, you know, even a little bit on the show yesterday with Mary. I mean, you know, what you do on Sundays is so special and so personal. And I've told you this in person, and I said it on the last broadcast, but, you know, if one of the standards for Michelin is a chef's personality expressed in his food, I mean, I've been to a bunch of the top places in Texas. I've been to, you know, seven of the places on the top 10. I don't think anybody does that better than you.
Thank you.
Well, I will say on the, you know, Daniel got it right. Michelin got it wrong. You know, I'll say that until my last breath. You know, this guy right here should have got a star. There should have been 5 stars. Not any taken away from anybody else, but he should have been up there. And, you know, Daniel has a tough job, you know, going to all these places. But you know, since this guy started his place, it was always going to be at what point is Ernest going to be number one? This guy is just super talented, super passionate. And, you know, and who's not in camera right now is Dave. I mean, Dave, that motherfucker is constantly, he reminds me of Tuffy's dad. You know, I'd go to competitions with Tuffy Stone and all his dad do was just watch the fires and watch the temperatures all day. Dave is that, like, that quiet partner who all he does is cook his ass off behind the scenes. You know, not as gregarious as Ernest, but at the same time, very impactful to the operation. And, you know, he is cooking that food alongside Ernest. And together they've created such a beautiful location out there in Seguin, Texas. And I will tell you, that has changed that damn city. Nobody was going to Seguin prior to Ernest. I mean, that has revitalized that whole downtown where you see a lot of commerce and economics passing through that damn city. And this is what things like this do to towns. Same thing with Lexington, but with Seguin specifically, that place was falling apart. Ernest took over this building that was falling apart and brought life to it. And you have a lot of people benefiting from the things that they're doing together there. And it's, again, it's a beautiful thing to watch.
Well, yeah. I mean, I even noticed driving in, you know, there's a brewery, there's a distillery, there's, you know, some of these other businesses kind of popping up. I mean, Ernest, talk a little bit about kind of how you've seen Seguin evolve since you opened Burnt Bean Company 5 years ago.
Yeah. You know, this was a sleepy industrial town. It's not like anybody said, hey, this summer we're going to Seguin, Texas for our vacation. You know, it's not a tourist town. You know, it's either, you know, people that live here, but it's a sleepy industrial town. And we wanted to bring some destination barbecue to Seguin, as well as perhaps something Seguin to be proud of. I think this is a small town that didn't like growth, and now it's growing. It's inevitable. And now they have the opportunity to have something special like this. And I hope they take it and take some pride in it. But we're bringing an average of like 2,000 people a week that have never been to Seguin. And that's really cool. You know what I mean? You know, I think a best response is, wow, I never used to bring Seguin was this cute, you know, downtown. Because everybody just, I-10 corridor.
Right.
From San Antonio.
Right. They don't get off the highway. And it's not that far off the highway. It's a mile or two off the highway. It's got a lot of that small town charm. I mean, the same as Lockhart, the same as Luling, the same as Taylor. I mean, the same as any of them.
Yep, and it's really cool to see the downtown grow, and so many small businesses around us have been really flourishing with all the business they've been getting because of us. So yeah, it's a win-win situation.
All right. Well, look, I don't want to. I mean, I think we've chopped this up a few different ways. So I guess the last thing is, you know, since Lerma mentioned, and since I mentioned it, you know, now that you've got number one, would a Michelin star be meaningful to you? Or do you feel like you've gotten, like, you're a bib gourmand, you're in a small town, you're the number one barbecue joint in Texas. Michelin's going to do what they're going to do, but it's not something you're concerned about.
No, man, it would be a validation, you know, and it would be something that, of course, anybody would want a Michelin star. I mean, shit. But what the number one, I hope, brings is more attention to us from the big cities. I think the big cities keep it in their cities, like Houston keeps it there and Austin keeps it there and San Antonio. So if we can get as much attention to us small town folks and say, hey, we can hang with the big boys too. Michelin, come and really look at us and see what we can do. And I guarantee you we can earn a star. And I know we are just as good as anywhere else. And us being number one just proved it.
I think that's legit, and I think
it goes with James Beard too, man.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like James Beard does you a bit of a disservice. Like, yes, outstanding chef in the country would be incredible recognition for anyone, but
realistically, no.
Best Chef Texas makes so much more sense to me for you.
It does,
and just as someone who's been involved in that process in a little bit, you know, the idea of the only Texas pitmaster to win was Aaron Franklin, you know, several years ago, 10 years ago at this point. And then for you or, you know, someone like you, pick the new face of Texas barbecue. Like this is what Texas barbecue means now and how far we've evolved since Aaron won. I think that would be a fitting thing. And just, you know, I don't like, you know, obviously we're recording this, you know, well before the next ceremony, and there's three chefs that pay homage to Mexican culinary traditions are finalists for that award this year. So, you know, I think you're kind of in line with that. You're making barbecue, which is the iconic cuisine of the state of Texas. Like I that makes sense to me. As cool as it would be to be outstanding chef, Best Chef Texas makes more sense to me.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
Well, golly, if only any of us knew anyone on that committee that makes those decisions, we could might be able to influence someone to give you another shot at Best Chef Texas.
Yeah.
That's going to come, you know, like I said, I disagree in some way. Yeah. I think Texas is great, but I think this guy is, you know, before we laughed at it when Daniel talked about best barbecue in the world, when was that, like 13? And that was like, oh, that's arrogant. We've been around the world, Ernest. And you can't speak for yourself, but I'll speak for you. His is the best in the world. And if it's the best in the world, it's, you know, that encompasses this great country that we live on, the United States. So that's how highly I think of him and his food and his story and that place and the community impact. All these things that you look at broader than how good is his brisket, they have done and then some in this space. I mean, it's limitless, the potential of what these guys are capable of, in my opinion. It's really going to come down to... Again, and Leonard kind of alluded to it, you know, at some point, can this continue to be interesting for them? And that's why I think there's an evolution beyond cooking the staples, and that's what's happened with a lot of people. There's only so many things you can do one time every single day before it gets to kind of get dull. So long as Ernest is interested and dedicated and passionate about all these things, I mean, who knows what the fuck this guy's going to do? This guy is that talented. And I'm just blessed to be around him and call him brother. And same thing with Leonard, you know, been around him a long time. And it's so nice to see your friends win. And it couldn't happen to better people.
You know, I think that may be a good place to wrap this up.
I agree.
Ernest, I guess in the very unlikely event that anyone listening to this isn't already following Burnt Bean Co., give us the website and the social media.
Okay, so it's www.burntbeanco.com, and then it's Burnt Bean Company on Instagram. Hobo Barbecue is mine, and same thing with Facebook is Burnt Bean Company. Come hungry
and wear comfortable shoes. It's going to be, the lines are going to be pretty long for the next well, forever, I guess, probably.
You didn't wait in line, Sandler, come on.
No, man. I didn't wait in line, but
you know, too, you don't wait in line.
You don't wait in line either. you don't wait in line. It snows, people start lining up at that place at 5 a.m
That camera has worked out for me.
You're blessed to be you're blessed to have made a lot of good friends in the world of barbecue.
My claim to fame is you picking me up at the airport and taking me to get my hair cut in Houston that one time.
That is true. That did happen. All right, Robert, plug your Instagram for people who aren't following you.
Just my name, Robert Jacob Lerma. Pretty simple.
Gentlemen, thank you both so much. And Leonard had to drop off, but I want to thank Leonard Botello of Truth Barbecue. They're on Instagram, Truth Barbecue BBQ. Truthbarbecue.com. Leonard is Leo Botello IV, because he is a fourth. You can follow me on Instagram at Eric Sandler. Keep it locked on culturemap.com for all the latest Houston bar and restaurant news. Thanks so much for listening. I'll be back next week.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. and listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Save big on everything for your next staining project when you shop at Menards. Transform your home in one weekend with exterior stain and sealer from Dutch Boy. It provides one coat protection on decks, fences, siding, and outdoor furniture, and repels rain after just 4 hours of application. That means quicker results, saving you both time and money. Check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.